want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm leaving, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you've come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be here with you this afternoon and hope that the things that we say will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Again, this is a live call-in radio broadcast. If you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and give us a call right now. That number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what faith is and what faith is not. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so the Bible reveals that it is impossible for us to please God without faith. And that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to recognize what faith is and what faith is not. So join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
This is a live broadcast, and we are more than glad to be able to have you in our audience today. And we pray that that God is the one to be glorified in all this, and that we're finding the answers in God's Word to the questions that are on your mind and on your heart. And so we pray that you will be able to give us a call, and we might be able to find the answer in God's Word. The lines are now available. They are open and working, and the station seems to be working fine this week. And so we're more than thrilled about that. And so we want you to, someone just knocked on wood. And so we want you to join us right now. If you would like to call in your question, go ahead and do that. Now's your opportunity. 308-9564 is the number here at the station, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart and mind. The lines are now available, so go ahead and take this opportunity. 308-9564. Nick just brought out about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, that it is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. God Himself gives us that definition of what faith is. And so, therefore, we need to make certain that we are going to have that substance and evidence for it. And how do we get that? Well, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we've got to go to the Bible for the answer. If our faith is built on another or some other source, then that is not faith in God. That would be faith in that individual. For example, you listening today, if you were to take Nick or I, my word for what the Bible says today, and you're not looking up the verses for yourself, then to some extent you are putting your faith in us. And the truth is, we will not be able to get you to heaven that way, nor will you be able to get to heaven that way unless your faith is built on the Word of God. And so we must find what God's Word has to say in order to be pleasing to Him. And thus, the purpose of this program, Let the Bible Speak, is to find those verses, and thus your faith is being built upon what God's Word says. Now, this is so very important, and so what I recommend to you, unless you're driving, that you have paper and pencil at hand along with your Bible so that you can write down the answers. Sometimes there will be a question that comes in very often, and what we'll do is just give you the references, and you'll need to write those down because we won't even take the time to read those verses again because they do come up quite so often. And so so be sure to be ready. Have your have paper, pencil ready so that you can go and look for yourself. Not only that, you need to go and look these things up because that is the only way that you're going to be able to stand before God one day by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if you're ready, we're ready, go ahead and let the calls begin. The number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart.
What is faith? We've established from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 that it is, in fact, the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We've established in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God. What's interesting, when we go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is not just kind of this belief only, the idea of believing just to believe. But our faith in God has to be based on evidence, on proof. We have evidence that there is a God. We have evidence that He is real. We have evidence that Jesus actually lived and that Jesus actually was the Son of God. And thus there were witnesses who would testify of what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus tells the apostles that one of the reasons, you know, they would be sent forth is to be witnesses. Now, they would not just be witnesses who heard about Jesus, but rather they were going to be eyewitnesses. And so Jesus would send them so that they could be a witness to testify of Jesus whom they had actually seen, Jesus whom they were with. Not everybody was going to be a witness of Jesus. You might even hear that in the religious world today. People saying that I'm a witness of Jesus. I'm a witness of Jesus. Well, not everybody was going to be a witness of Jesus. When the Bible speaks of witnesses, it's talking about those who actually saw the Jesus Christ, and specifically the apostles. They saw the resurrected Christ. And again, they were going to be sent out to be these witnesses. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus talking to his apostles, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And so the apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ. Their job was to teach about him, to tell about him, to tell of his death, burial, and resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul would further bring to light this idea that they had in fact saw Jesus, and not just the apostles, but there were others. And again, these folks were still alive during the time that Paul writes the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, notice this part right here. He testified that Jesus Christ died, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected. But in verse 5, he says, "And that He was seen by Cephas and by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at one time." And he says of that 500 brethren, the majority of them were still alive. They had not died yet. Verse 7, he says, "After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles." And then in verse 8, he says, "Last of all, He was seen by me." And so the apostles were eyewitnesses of Jesus, and thus the message that they carry was a message that was not based on belief only, but it was a message that was based upon seeing or based upon evidence. Hence, what the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, it is the evidence of things not seen. To join us right now, you can. The number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564. 1-800-236-4. I believe we have a question.
Yes, we do. And the lines are now available, so go ahead and call in your question while I'm answering Ben's question here. 308-9564 is the number. Ben calls in. Ben, thanks again for calling, and thanks again for listening week after week. We're so thrilled that you are such a diligent Bible student. And this day, he is in has a question concerning 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And let me start back with verse 6, where it says, "Wherefore I put thee to remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind." And his question is, in particular, what is that sound mind under consideration there? Well, literally, in that verse of Scripture, Ben, that is talking about the idea of self-control. Sound, as in, is the foundation of your house sound? I used to live in a mobile home, and sometimes through the process of settling, one of the pillars underneath the mobile home would sink down a little bit. And then, of course, the mobile home would start bouncing. And so in that case, that mobile home at that point was not sound. It did not have control over the up and down movement of that mobile home. And so that's the idea. Do I have that sound mind? And that fits right into what we're talking about again today, Ben. And we're thankful that you just tune right in and jump right on in with us. And that's the idea of faith. The only way that we can have a sound mind is for us to have established our faith by God's Word. And that is the only way that we will be able to be successful in serving our Lord or pleasing our God. Timothy was stirred there that he would be able to keep these things in his mind that he had learned, and that he would have the stability about that, and that he might not fear what God's Word says. Because sometimes God asks us to do some things, or we must do some things in serving God that would be fearful for the average person. For example, how many of us would say, "Yes, I believe God and serve God," if it meant a firing squad, or if it meant taking our life in some gruesome way, that our life would be on the line? Would we have the spirit of fear then, or would we have a trust, a sound mind, one that loves God with all our heart? Well, God expounds upon to Timothy and to us today that we have that kind of sound, self-control mind, that we're going to stand with God no matter what. Thanks, Ben, so much for listening, and thank you for tuning in each week. Again, our new time is at 1:30, and so some of you may be having that normally tune in at 2 o'clock. You might spread the word that we now start at 1:30 each week, and that we're actually going for 90 minutes on the Lord's Day or on Sunday afternoons. And so be sure to spread the word to those that you know that regularly tune in. Again, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break to let you know about the free offer. Last week, because there were technical difficulties and we were off the air for a large portion of the time, we do want you to know that we're going to go ahead and re-offer what we offered last week, and that is the DVD. And you're more than happy to, if you've never received this DVD, it covers things in the Bible that you just do not hear commonly taught in church. And so many of you, hundreds of you, matter of fact, have received this DVD, but yet there's probably many of you that have never received this. And so if you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course and receive the DVD, both, then make certain that you write down the number that was about to be given to you and call that during the program. We have an operator standing by, and he will gather your information, and we will get this in the mail to you this week. And so we're going to take a break, but while we're at break, those of you that have a Bible question, maybe you've already received the DVD, maybe you have a question about something that you have learned from those studies, then go ahead, call in right now to the station. The operator is here as well at the station to receive your question, and also here's the information about the free DVD. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we do want you to know that whenever you call either number, the one at the house, be sure to let it ring. Or if it's busy, make certain that you just hang up and then just wait a moment or two and then hit redial on your phone, and you can get right back through, because there's a lot of calls that do come in during this broadcast. And the same is true here, except for one thing. We do have two lines here, and so our operator can only talk to one person at a time. So if you call here at the station and it's ringing, just go ahead and let it ring, because as soon as he hangs up from talking to one person, then he will be able to pick up and talk to you and get your question or get you live on the air. Either way, don't give up on us. Go ahead and be patient, whether it's busy or whether it is ringing. Make certain that you call right back. We already had one call drop because of that, and the reason I'm giving you that information. So the number here to ask your question is 308-9564. So the lines are now available. We have another verse of Scripture that we'd like to share with you concerning faith today, because there's a lot of things that people have felt about faith, and it is used in so many various ways. But what's most important is the way the Bible uses the word faith. Would you be surprised to know that faith can be made shipwreck? Yes, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19, again, very similar to what Ben's question was earlier. Your faith, holding faith, he says, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And then he mentions a couple of men by name, whom I delivered unto Satan, he says in verse 20. So there were brethren that had faith, that their faith was made shipwreck, and they were delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Yet there's a whole lot of people out there. There's a lot of people that have a faith and a belief that there is once saved, always saved. And yet this verse, along with others, show that very clearly that it is possible for someone's faith to be wrecked and headed to Satan. The individual's headed to Satan. So that is something that can occur today, in spite of what man may say about faith today. One's faith is not for certain to be able to make it to heaven just because they have faith in God. After all, does the devil have faith in God? Does he believe? Well, yes, James chapter 2 brings out that he believes and trembles, that the demons believe and tremble. And so, yes, they have a faith, they have a belief, one of which would be healthy enough to cause them to even tremble. The Lord wants us to have a faith and a trust that doesn't cause us to tremble, but rather causes us to have a devotion and a love and appreciation and allegiance to Him, that with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we love Him that way, and that kind of love will be shown by obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, in John 14:15. And then 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So we've got a choice. If we got a faith, it can become shipwrecked. We can fall from grace, Galatians 5 and verse 4 says. Or we can pursue God with all diligence toward having a good conscience, to where the power of God Himself through His Word will help our faith to grow and bring forth much fruit with patience. Again, the number here is 308-9564. You can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart.
You know, we could also have what might be considered a little faith. Not only can our faith be shipwrecked, but it may be that we only just have a little faith. And oftentimes, a little faith is just like having our faith shipwrecked, because a little faith is perhaps where a person don't actually trust in God like they should. They might be distracted by the things of this life. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And based upon those evidence that's not seen, we build a trust in God. But we can't just build a little trust in God. God wants us to have a lot of trust in Him. He wants us to completely depend upon Him so that we're not distracted by the things of this life, so that the things of this life don't shake our faith. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to His disciples about the needs of this life, things like clothing, things like food. And seemingly they were concerned about that. Picking up in verse 30, Jesus says, now if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need, or you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God makes an appeal to his disciples, and thus he makes an appeal to you and I. Seek him first. And all these things, things that we need, things like food and clothing, those things should be added to us. But I must seek him first. You know, in difficult economic times, like the times that we're in, oftentimes our faith can become shaken. We can get to the point where all we have is just a little faith. But God says, seek him. Seek him first. He knows what you need. He can provide. And the way we seek him is by doing what he says. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 15, 14, Jesus says, you are my friends indeed if you do whatsoever I command you. And so the way I seek God, the way I seek after him, is by doing the things that he says. But first, I must learn those things. And that's the purpose of this radio broadcast, is to give you an opportunity to ask your questions and for us to go to God's Word and find the answer to your question. If you have a question right now and you're looking for a Bible answer as you seek him, go ahead and give us a call. 308-9564, 308-9564. Now, for some of you who have computers and you get online, we do have a website where you can go and have access to some of our recordings, some other material. That website is www.BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com. Go ahead, check the site out. There may be some information that will be helpful to you as you continue your studies of God's Word.
We want you to know this is a live broadcast, and we're wanting you to know that we'll be glad to look into the Bible and find the question that is on, find the answer to the question that is on your heart. If you would like to call right now, you can call. The lines are available. 308-9564 is the number, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that you have on your heart and on your mind. And that's the answer that you want, is from what God's Word says, not what man says. And we will not give you philosophies of man or the ideas of man or church doctrines or what any kind of church council or religious groups may say. What we are concerned with is, what does God say? The number 308-9564, the lines are now available, and so go ahead and call in your question right now. We do want you to know we're offering a DVD that is absolutely free. We'll be glad to send this to you in the mail, and to receive that information, you just need to call our operator standing by. We'll give you that information in just a second. And we want you to know that everything that we send to you is absolutely free. The DVD, if you've never enrolled in it before, you probably want to call and receive this in the mail from us. There's no obligation and no expense. We'll never solicit any kind of contribution or offering whatsoever. Matter of fact, Jesus and the apostles never asked for money, neither should we. And so we don't. We're trying to give you the treasures that are contained in God's Word, and it's our honor to do that. And so if you'd like to receive that DVD, be sure to call 553-5157, and that is the number that you'll hear in just a second. But while we are at break, please know that you can go ahead and call the station and ask your question, and your question will be next in line as we look to the Bible, as we seek out what does the Bible say. And so be sure to call in your question right now. All right, we're back live again now, and we do want you to know that if you're just now tuning in because of our 2 o'clock time frame, that we now have our program is 90 minutes long, and we actually start now at 1:30. And so we do want you to try and tune in early with us and be with us from the very beginning next week, and we'll be able to get your question even earlier. We were running into such a time limit that we were not able to get the questions all dealt with each week, and so we asked for and we got an extra 30 minutes in our broadcast, and so we want you to know that we now start at 1:30, and so be sure to tune in next week at 1:30, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak for 90 minutes each week, and thus we're able to get to more of your questions and be able to answer them live on the air. And please know that as you call in, if sometimes people call in several times, several at one time, If the phone is ringing and it's no one answering, please know that we are here and that they are taking them as they come in. And so just go ahead and let it ring, and then we will get to your question to answer your phone just as quick as possible. And if you call the operator standing by, as we just gave that information, there you won't get you'll get a busy signal. And so when it's busy, just hang up and then push redial, and you'll be able to get through. We do want you to have that DVD if you've not received it. There's one caller or one Bible student in Munt's Corner. He just rants and raves over all the information that is contained in that DVD. It is a very high-level view of what the Bible says, the big picture of the Bible, and he has said he's gotten so much out of that. And so we do want you to know that that is across the board what people are saying about that DVD. It covers things that you just don't hear in churches today, because there's a lot of things in the Bible that have been there from the beginning that man and churches today have just totally neglected. They do not like it, so therefore they just pass over it or read over it as if it's not there, and it touches on some of those things. And would it surprise you to know that some of those things are needed in order to go to heaven? Yes, there are things that are left out of the Bible that are essential to go to heaven, that if you do not know about those things, then you cannot have the faith that God expects you to have. So make certain that if you've never received that DVD, or if you've received it and just did not really study through it, plug it back in and study through it, because there's a lot of information there necessary from God's Word that will help you and help each of us to go to heaven. Again, that number at the operator standing by is 553-5157. Be sure to enroll in that even today while he is there. The number here now, the lines are, there is one line available, 308-9564 is the number, 308-WJNI, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
Valerie calls this question in today. She says her church asks for money to do good. Are they wrong? And then she has a second question that says, what about tithing? Well, Valerie, appreciate you calling in today, and I will try to answer these questions by going to the scriptures. First of all, is it wrong for the church to collect money to do good? Well, I call your attention to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 verse 10 really seems to talk to the individual concerning doing good. The Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And if you take notice of Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 6, you'll note that he makes it an individual, it's an individual discussion. The idea of doing good just in general to help people, well, that's the work of the individual. That's something you should do. That's something I should do. But concerning what the church should do, the church has an obligation to its members, and thus they have a collection. Now, your second question was, what about tithing? Well, we don't find tithing as a matter of practice in the church in the New Testament. What we find as a matter of practice for giving in the New Testament is found in Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, where they had a collection. The Bible doesn't call it tithing, but in fact, these folks were given instruction concerning giving that was different than what we read in the Old Testament concerning tithing. Tithing was a part of the Old Testament, and that's what they did. But the church is under the New Testament. They're under a new covenant. And in that new covenant, they were given a new way of giving. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come." And so they were to lay aside, set aside money on the first day of the week, and the collection would be made on the first day of the week. But that was not tithing. We find something similar in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And again, they were making this collection. They were making a collection specifically for two things. One, we see in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there was a collection for the needy saints. And then we see a time where the churches would also send money to help Paul, so they would help out in evangelism. And so money was collected to be used in providing or providing help in evangelism. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. though you surely did not care, though you surely did care, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In this text, he's talking about how that they started sending him support in verse 10, and he's rejoicing in that. They had an opportunity to send him support, and they would actually send him support. And there are a number of other passages that show how that Paul received support from other congregations. He'll talk about how that he robbed certain congregations so that he could help another congregation. And he doesn't mean he actually stole from them, but other congregations were providing him support. And so if we see as a matter of example in the Bible when they had a collection and what that money was used for. It was used to help the needy saints, and it was used to help or support evangelism. The work of doing good is the work of the individual. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10.
All right, we are live, and you can call in your question right now. It was brought to my attention that I misstated just a minute ago, and let me clarify what I said. So easy for us to say something and it not come across very clear, and we certainly appreciate anybody that does help us along that line, because the English language is complicated enough, and then for us to be able to speak in such a way to where everybody understands is, well, that's quite an ordeal. And so in what I meant to say a little while ago concerning the CD or the DVD that we're offering is that in churches today, there are things that are often left out from the Bible, and that is there are things that are in God's Word that are just not taught that you really need to know about. And thus the DVD touches on some of those things that are often left out and not that are necessary, that are not that the Bible does talk about, that are just not talked about today. And so we would encourage you to make certain that you enroll in that DVD. The Bible is complete, His complete word to guide us in our age, and that we're now to live by that word. And thus, when we look into the Bible, that's where all the answers are found, and thus the need to let the Bible speak, as we are trying to do on this program. So make certain that you enroll in that DVD. The number here is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Okay, we are also want you to know we're talking about faith today, and faith is the idea of what is established from God's Word.
We've been talking about faith as being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, how that faith must be based upon evidence. We've also talked about how a person's faith can be made shipwrecked. We also talked about how a person may have a little faith. Well, faith also, according to the Scripture, is something that is seen. You know, what is faith? Well, the Bible shows us very clearly that it is something that is seen. Sometimes we think that faith is just our belief, and it's something that, well, that's in my heart, and you can't know how much faith I have. What's interesting is that the Bible shows us an example where the Bible says that Jesus actually saw someone's faith. In Matthew, the ninth chapter, in Matthew chapter 9, there was this paralytic who was lying on his bed, and this paralytic was brought to Jesus. And in that, in bringing that paralytic, someone who was paralyzed, and bringing him to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. And in Matthew chapter 9, and verse 2, the Bible says, then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And so Jesus could see their faith. Now, let's ask ourselves the question, how was it that Jesus was able to see their faith? Well, it was seen not in what they said, but rather in what they did. You see, they believed that Jesus had the power to heal. You know, a person can sit at home and be paralyzed and believe that Jesus has the power to heal and do nothing. Or a person can believe that Jesus has the power to heal, be paralyzed, get some friends to take their bed and bring them before Jesus. That is to say, they do something. The same thing is true about you and I when we think about faith. When you go outside, you sit in your car. You can believe that your car is going to crank. You can be assured that your car is going to crank. But friend, your car will do nothing until you take the keys out of your pocket, put it in the ignition, and crank the car. And so faith is more than just believing. Faith has to be in connection with our actions. faith, if it has not works, is dead. That sounds like a Bible passage, doesn't it? Turn to James, James chapter 2, James chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. This was mentioned earlier, verse 19 was, it talks about the demons. The Bible says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. The point is that belief is just not enough. Verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That word works means action. And so faith, if it's truly faith, has to be seen. And it is seen in our action by what we do. You know, I'm going to get a little personal here. You know, week after week, folks call in and they say all these wonderful things about the radio broadcast. You know, we're just so happy that this broadcast is on. But I wonder, are you listening? I wonder, are you listening with the intent of putting these things to action? Hearing God's word is one thing. Doing it is something completely different. Your faith is not seen and you just hearing it. Your faith is seen by you putting it to action. Think about the things that we've talked about on this broadcast. Think about the things that you've been brought up learning, things that you know are wrong. Have you heard the truth on this broadcast, and have you made that change? If you have, well, that's putting faith to work, because that's what faith does. Faith works. To join us right now, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564.
Okay, I believe we have someone to be live with us today. We're wanting to be able to put him live on the air. I think we have Ben on the air. Ben, are you here? Ben?
Hello?
Yes, how can we help you?
Faith.
Yes, go ahead and turn down your radio so there won't be an echo and you can concentrate.
Uh-huh.
All right, how can we help you?
Okay, faith is an action thing.
That's right.
And when you put faith to work, it will happen for you. And when you have faith to speak to the mountain can be anything in our life. But if we have the faith of God on the inside of our life, we can speak to that mountain and tell that mountain to be removed.
Okay, very good. That's exactly right. We've got to be able to have that kind of faith, as Jesus talked to the apostles about, in order to be pleasing to God. And the more we trust him and the more that we take him at his word, then those things can happen. Thanks, Ben, very much, and thanks for tuning in each week.
God bless you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your encouragement.
You're welcome.
All right, we do have now one line available, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We have Rose calling in this afternoon as well. Rose calls in and asks this question. She says, when in spiritual warfare, what weapons does the enemy have to use against us? And so, Rose, there's a whole lot of verses coming up, so I hope you're able to write these down. First of all, let's substantiate that we do have the enemy, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where it talks about Satan. God tells us to be sober, be vigilant. That means on guard, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he can devour. But you're talking about his weapons. Well, there's one weapon that is discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 33, where it's kind of interesting. The verse just shows a contrast between God and Satan, where it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So if God is not the author of confusion, who is? Yes, that's right. Satan is the author of confusion. That's one of his favorite tools, to get people to be confused. And thus the purpose of this program is to help people to have faith in God without being confused, because God's word is clear. God's word is exact. God's word is the authority that we must use to show ourselves approved unto him. We can also look at John chapter 8 and verse 44. It says where Jesus is talking and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of the father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He speaketh a lie. He speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So there he's described as the father of lies. And so that is unfortunate, you know, from the standpoint that lying is something that is of the devil, not of God at all. And so that's another way in which the devil works. And that's one weapon that he uses, and that is lies. And so we need to make certain that we do not play his game, and that we would be part of that. But there's one more I would like to suggest. There's confusion. There's lies. He leads people the wrong way. Remember, even in the beginning, the very first sin that Eve took of the forbidden fruit, that he was telling truth when he told her that he said, "You will not surely die." Well, in one sense, that was true because she didn't die physically right then and there on the spot. But there was a death, that is a separation from God. And so usually he tells just enough truth to keep you interested to buy his bill of goods. And, of course, she bought into it and believed that God was keeping her in the dark, and so she took that fruit and ate it. And so sometimes when he will entice us to think that maybe God's way is not the right way, the proper way, then he's winning. He's getting us confused. But now there's another tool he uses. He uses distraction. If he can get us so involved in this world to where that we are focused in on and following after the things of this world, then he is one again, and that's a tool that he uses quite often. I would suggest you reading Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and to be renewed in our mind by the word of God, verse 2 goes on to say. And also 1 John chapter 4, chapter 2, which brings out that the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, they're not of God, but they are certainly of our evil one. Those are things that he uses to distract us. So, Rose, to recap your question, to recap your answer, and that is, that if he can confuse us, if he can distract us, or if he can get us doubting God, then those are his tools that he uses very effectively today. Rose, thank you so much for calling in your question, and thank you for tuning in today. And we hope and pray that question has been a help to you and everybody else that has that question today. Again, the number here is 308-9564. I think we've gone past the time to take a break, so we're going to take a quick break and let you know that the same number we're about to give you is where you can get the free DVD. And, Rose, if you have never received that, you might want to call and receive the DVD to study through an overview of God's Word. There are things contained in this DVD that you commonly just do not hear in church. There are things in the Bible that God wants us to know that you commonly just do not hear in most churches across the land today. So if you've never studied through this DVD, now's the time to receive it. So go ahead and respond to this. Now, while we're at break, you can go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines are available here, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to your question. We'll be right back. Again, we do want you to know how serious we are with it. This is all free. And we're more than happy to send that DVD to you, so make certain that you call the operator standing by for that, and we will be glad to send that to you in the mail even this week. Now, the number here, to go ahead and call in your question right now, is 308-9564. And those of you that call that number, if the phone just keeps on ringing, just keep on let it ringing, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. 308-9564.
Benjamin calls in. Benjamin says he missed part of the tithing question that we talked about earlier and wanted me to elaborate on that, so I'll do that in just a moment. He also says, why do so many churches still hold to the Old Testament, i.e. tithing? And so, well, we'll try to answer that. But before I do, again, want to let our listeners know, again, you can call in right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will go to God's Word for the answer. Concerning tithing, the call that came in earlier, a young lady wanted to know, what about tithing? Tithing was actually something that was done in the Old Testament. Now, we find out the first time that it occurs in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20, where Abraham actually paid tithe to Melchizedek. What I want you to pay close attention to is in that text is that he does not do it by command. No one commanded Abraham to do it. But this is something that he did. And then we find it by command giving in the Old Testament. When Moses had the law, you can look in Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 32, and you'll see that tithing was implemented where they gave a tithe. This was how they gave under the old covenant, or what we call the old law. Now, Christ was going to implement a new law. He never intended that the Old Testament law was going to be the law that man was going to live by. We know that from Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, those of you who are listening, go ahead and jot down Jeremiah 31, read verses 31 through the end of the chapter, and you'll see that God talks about bringing in a new covenant. And that new covenant is the New Testament, which the church lives under. And thus, the church has to live by that covenant. The way we worship, the way we give, what we teach, has to be based upon that new covenant that Jesus put into place, giving his life to bring into place. And thus we follow that. Well, when we go to the new covenant and we look at what the church did when the church was established, they were commanded to give, not to tithe. And the way they would give is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. We see them taking a collection on the first day of the week. We also see, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. And thus we follow that pattern. The church must follow that pattern that is based upon the new covenant. Now, can we go back to the old covenant? Again, part of this question is, why are so many churches still holding to the Old Testament? Can we go to the old covenant? The answer is yes, if we are going to learn from it. And that's the purpose of the old covenant for us today. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 verse 4 said, whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patient and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And so I can go to that old covenant to learn from it. But what I cannot do is allow, or I cannot worship the way they worship in the Old Covenant. I can't use the Old Covenant as the means or as a way to tell me this is how I'm supposed to worship. That's not what it's for. The New Covenant is for that. And when I do go to the Old Covenant and use it that way, now I'm in sin. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, and I want to encourage our listeners, those who have questions about the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant, read all of Galatians. In Galatians, the third chapter, here Paul makes a contrast between the old law and the new law. He says in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is anyone who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, that was the rule, that if you were under the law of Moses, you had to hold to the law of Moses. But, you know, the curse is, if you didn't hold to it, then, you know, if you violate that law, then you're in trouble. The problem is, you can't do everything in the law. Impossible. Hence the reason why we needed Christ. In verse 11 it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And thus Christ came, he redeemed us, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So, if I'm going to hold to the Old Testament law, I have to do everything in it. Who out there can do that? That's what I thought. None of us can. And thus, we need to hold to Christ's law. We need Christ. But when I go back to that law to try to hold to it, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, that I've fallen from grace. That's how serious it is, friends. And so we have to put the law in its proper place. We are not under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ. The number to call, 308-9564. You can join us right now, 308-9564. And Benjamin, perhaps the reason why people hold to the Old Testament practice is because there's some things that they like. They like the idea of tithing, but maybe don't like some other things, like animal sacrifices. But the Bible shows us that if we do one thing, we have to do it all. Hopefully that's helpful.
Very good question, Ben, and thank you again for calling in your question. Victoria this afternoon calls in this question. Again, we want you to know the lines are available. 308-9564, there's one line available, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Victoria, very good question. Here's her question. It says, what significance does praying and fasting together have? Well, Victoria, as you probably know, this is mentioned several times in the Bible. Matter of fact, at one point in time, some people came up to Jesus and ask him about John's disciples, and it says, why did the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the the disciples and says, and your disciples do not. And of course, his answer was in that the bridegroom was with them. And in other words, while Jesus was here. Usually in the New Testament, Victoria, it had to do with there was an intense request being made known unto God. As in Acts chapter 13 and verse 3, we see the church there gathered together, praying and fasting, and as they sent away the disciples to preach the gospel into other lands. And so that was the reason for there. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, and when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord whom they believed. And so there was an intense request to God about the elders or the overseers of the local flock. And so that is the reason why it was done there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5, it talks about there was difficulties that were being going on between or in someone's home, a husband and wife's home, and they were having difficulties, and he says that they were not to defraud one another except with consent for a time, that they may give themselves to fasting and prayer. And so that whatever the problem was that they were going through at that time, he encourages them that only let that be for a time with fasting and prayer, and then come together again, lest Satan tempt them due to their incontinency. And so that's showing the intensity of whatever it was that was going on. My friend, maybe you have some intense situations going on. You should seek the Lord. You should seek the Lord by prayer, by doing His Word, and finding what God wants. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Talking about faith, as we did earlier, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about how that the shield of faith is the Word of God, that we are to have the breastplate of righteousness, that we are to seek after Him with our whole heart, and when we do, we're going to do what He says. In James chapter 2, it talks about having faith and belief, but if we have faith and not works, then we have a dead faith, or faith without works is dead. And so we must have the kind of faith that is working, willing to do what God says in every way, and thus be able to be pleasing to Him. And that's the only way that we can be pleasing. And so when we're seeking Him with that kind of intensity, then certainly we are going to find Him. Jesus Himself says in Matthew 7:7, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, ask and it will be given. That is a promise that God Himself gives, not we ourselves, and that is what He has promised to us today. And thus we need to make certain that we are serving Him with our whole heart. And when we do, we will be pleasing to Him in every way. And so that is so very important that we make certain of that. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. We do want you to know you can call in your question, 308-9564. 308-WJNI. While we're at break, make certain that you go ahead and call in. Here's the information on that free DVD. If you haven't received that, make certain that you take advantage of that today. We don't offer it every week. Again, here's the information on that. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, And you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we are back live on the air again, and being that we are live this way, there's a thunderstorm passing over, and so who knows after last week what might happen, so make certain that if that does occur and we have a temporary flash of being off the air, make certain that you go ahead and stay with us because we will be here until 3 o'clock, and so we do want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and when you're live, there's a lot of things that can happen, and so make certain that you stay with us. Again, if you would like that DVD, make certain that you call that operator standing by, and we will be glad to give that to you free of charge, 553-5157. Now, here at the station, go ahead and call in your question. We've got 30 minutes left. 308-9564 is the number, 308-WJNI.
Mary calls in this question today, and she's looking for the meaning of terrestrial body, terrestrial. I take that the word terrestrial, I'm assuming that you're getting that from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Mary, this is a good question because I was at the break trying to ask a few questions myself as I tried to come up with exactly what it meant. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 38 because the context helps us a little bit. It says, "But God gives it a body as it pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, and another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory." The word itself, terrestrial, actually means earthly. And notice that that is in contrast to celestial, which is heavenly. And thus, he gives some example of these heavenly bodies. He talks about the stars and the moon, and he shows how that they have their own glory, verse 41. Concerning the terrestrial, here he makes reference to earthly bodies. And I can't be 100% on what he's making reference to. It could be that he's talking about our own earthly bodies, or it could be he's talking about inanimate type items, things like mountains or et cetera. But whatever he's making reference to actually applies to those objects on the earth. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Ricky, do you have anything to add that might be helpful?
Nope, sounded right to me. The terrestrial means, terra means land, and so that's always been that case.
Okay. Well, to join us right now, you can. 308-9564, 308-9564.
We do want you to know about a website that we have. It's called www.biblealone.com. And you can go and download previous programs if you would like to, or even you can take them and burn them. There's no copyrights whatsoever. And you can take them and use them and give them to your friends and neighbors if you'd like. It's totally up to you. Also, a Bible correspondence course that we offer on that website as well, www.biblealone.com, and you can download that at any time and download the correspondence course. That is a free service that we are more than happy to provide to you. Again, all of this is free because that's the way the gospel is supposed to be given. There are so many churches that are out there have gone into big business, from having bookstores to selling things and trinkets to get fundraisers through fun food, frolic, and dinners, and you name it. It's done in the name of some kind of church. Well, you don't see any of that happening in the Bible. What you see in the Bible is the gospel being taught from house to house, from place, from marketplace to squares and the temple and synagogues, and even by the riverside. And so that's what the New Testament Christianity is supposed to look like and resemble. Unfortunately, the churches today have totally lost focus in that. Many of them have. And so we want you to know that this is absolutely free. And everything that we serve or everything that we offer to you is free, from the DVDs to the correspondence course to all the other things that we offer from time to time. And so the number here, if you'd like to call in your question, is 308-9564. You can ask your Bible question, and we'll look right then at what the Bible says and hopefully be able to find the answer to the question that is on your heart. 308-9564. We have a storm above us, but hopefully you have good weather where you're at. And so we do want you to know that you can go ahead and call in 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
What is faith? What faith is and what is it not? That's been our subject matter today as we've been answering other questions. We've been talking about this particular subject. What is faith? Faith is based upon evidence. We get our faith, according to Romans 10:17, from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We know that without faith, we cannot please God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We know that our faith can be made shipwreck. And friend, I'm sure that, you know, as a result of the variety of different teachings out there, your faith may have been made shipwreck. You go to church A, you hear one thing. You go to church B, you hear something else. You go to church C, you hear something else. You know it can't all be true. And that can impact, that can have an effect on your faith, and thus your faith can be made shipwreck. We also talked about the idea of having a little faith. We also looked at this idea that faith is something that must be seen. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible adds yet another element. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, we see that this is how God is going to save us. God is going to save us by or through our faith. Now, you might say, hold on a second. I thought we were saved by grace. Well, we are. But notice the verse here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so God saves us by his grace through faith. Now, one of the questions is whether or not that faith is your faith or whether that faith is his, because sometimes that's a question that comes up. Well, faith is belief. Faith is on man's part. Remember how we get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Grace is God's part. Mercy is God's part. Faith is your part. And thus you have to have a faith in God, and that's how God's going to apply his saving grace to you. But now, what kind of faith is that? Is that a living faith, or is that a dead faith? You may recall we read in James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. That faith, if it has not works, is dead. So we know God is not applying his saving grace to us through a dead faith. Thus, it must be a living faith. And a living faith is a faith that works, a faith that can be seen. In that same text, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God will create the works or the actions that we should be walking in, the works, the things that we should be doing. And thus, if I believe in God, then that's what I'm going to do. You see how we came full circle? What is faith? Is that the kind of faith that you have? Do you have the faith that we read up in the Scripture? To join us right now, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564.
This is a live broadcast, and you can go ahead and call in your question right now. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. Again, this is a live broadcast. Go ahead. The lines are now available, 308-9564. It's unfortunate that so many times there are so many different faiths. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, there is one Lord and one God, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How is it that there is just one faith that the Bible speaks of? Well, because all the other faiths that man has come up with are just not from God's Word. We need to make certain that unless we're listening to God in His Word, then it's not from God. So if there's just one faith that the Bible talks about, then why is it that the world is so filled with others? Again, it comes down to who we're going to listen to, whether we're going to listen to what God says in His Word, or we're going to listen to man. In that same context, he goes on in verse 6, one God and Father who is above all, through all, and in you all. And so if there is one Father, if there is one Spirit, and if there is just one Lord, then the same way that there is one of each of them, that there is just one hope, there is one faith, and one baptism. Now, what is that one baptism there, you wonder? Because the Bible talks about several. There are several baptisms that the Bible talks about. There's John the Baptist baptism. There is the baptism in of fire that Jesus talks about, that John talks about, that Jesus will give one day, that he and that John himself brings out. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where they're immersed in the Holy Spirit, and that is referred to by John as well. And then there is also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it speaks of an immersion of Moses and how that the children of Israel went through the Red Sea and surrounded by water, both the walls of water on each side and the cloud above their head. And so there, that was an immersion as well, as referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. But then there's the baptism that began starting in Acts chapter 2. That continues even today, that no doubt that Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 is talking about. In Acts 2 and verse 38, it refers to it as Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Paul was told in Acts 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Later on, as he wrote about that baptism in Romans 6 and verse 3, he said, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So he explains, not only was it the wash away of sins, he was baptized into Christ and he was baptized into his death. Now, what significance is that death? Well, that death significance is that when we sin, the wage of sin is death. So therefore, that was the penalty for our sin. The only way for that to be satisfied is for us to die with Christ. We have some calls coming in now for questions, and we do want you to know the lines are available. We'll try to get to your question just as quick as we can. We're going to go to a break. And we want you to know that this is the last break we're going to take, and there is an operator standing by, so make certain that you do call in this number to get the free DVD. We'll be right back.
We cannot encourage you enough to make sure that you avail yourself of the material that we are offering here for free. Again, the correspondence course as well as the free DVD. Go ahead and call the operator standing by, 553-5157. We still have a few minutes left now. If you'd like to join us, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564. Judy calls in this question. She says, in order to receive blessings, does the pastor have to lay hands on me? Do I have to go in the prayer line to be blessed? Well, Judy, again, this is a good question, and I'm sure there are other people that are listening that have this question as well, so appreciate you calling in. Blessings does not come by way of man. In order to be blessed, you go through one. That one is Jesus. And thus, once you're in Christ, that's where your blessings will come through. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through me. And so Jesus is our go-between. We don't need some man. Notice that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And so we refine our blessings in one location, that's in Christ. In verse 7, the Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In verse 11, the Bible says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Inheritance. So, you know, what we have as an inheritance is not something that is given to us by some man, but we get that from God. If you note over in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, the Bible talks about what Abraham receives and how that we are heirs according to the promise. And we receive that by being in Christ. If Abraham was blessed, then we're going to be blessed with Abraham. And the way that happens is by being in Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so we receive our inheritance through being in Christ. We receive our blessings by being in Christ and not through some man, be it the pastor, be it whoever. It's only in Christ, Christ alone. To join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now, I wonder sometimes how many, how much of that goes on. There are so many preachers today that put themselves as a mediator between us and God, and that they must be have some kind of elevation to be able to do that, either by themselves or the church doing that. But there's only one mediator between us and God, and that is Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And so it's unfortunate that there are churches out there that are practicing such things as that. And that kind of leads me to the next question. We have Robert calling in this question. He says, there are seven things mentioned in Proverbs that God does not like. Please elaborate, he asks. And so we are going to Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16, 17, 18, and 19, where those seven things are listed. But as I looked at that again, I thought, well, I wonder that, about that word hate. What it says is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. And I thought, okay, I wonder what that word literally means. So I went and looked right quick. And literally, it's the idea of that it's utterly odious. Now, I don't know if you heard me correctly. Utterly odious. In other words, it really stinks. It's just horrible. It is probably one of the most wretched terms you could think of. I mean, it's just sickening to God. Well, you might think, well, what in the world is he talking about? What is it that is utterly odious to God, that God hates? Well, here it is, verse 17, a proud look. Now, how many of us take a great deal of pride in the way that we look? Well, again, it's not a matter of just trying to look nice, but a proud look. Look at me. I am something. I am the center of the universe. God hates that. A lying tongue. Well, that's pretty plain. When we use our tongue for lying, telling something that is not true. Hands that shed innocent blood. Whenever we would participate in hurting someone that is innocent, that is wrong. That's something that stinks. It's horrible in God's eyes and in his nostrils. A heart that devises wicked plans. How many times... sometimes I get worried about this because I will look and I'll see somebody do something, maybe somebody in the line at a checkout counter, and they do not, they're not very on guard about their PIN number, and they'll just openly display it. And I'm thinking, well, you know, if I was a crook, I could take that and run with it. And no, I shouldn't be thinking that way. So we should not even have hearts that would even devise wicked plans. That's not right. If ever we have such a thing, we might not be able to stop them from entering our mind, but we shouldn't make any plans along that. We shouldn't devise any plans along that at all. And so that's something God hates. Feet that are swift, running to evil. I remember in high school, all you had to do was yell out, "Fight!" And here come all these kids. Boy, they're just a come a running to be able to watch all this evil take place. Well, we shouldn't be so quick to run to evil. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies. And the idea of being party to a lying tongue, to be able to be witness to that, or to, if we know someone is speaking a lie and we do not correct it, then we are party to it. And then the next one, one who sows discord among brethren. Someone always stirring something up. These things are utterly odious in God's eyes, in his nostrils. He hates them. Well, unfortunately, we're too comfortable with some of those things, aren't we? And if we're comfortable with them and God hates them, guess what? God hates that as well. Let's consider what Robert has directed us to today and understand, yeah, there are some things that God hates. He considers them utterly odious, and we should too. If you're quick, you can go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. We've got just a couple of minutes, about 3 minutes left. Make certain that you go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564. You got to dial right now if you want your question answered on the air today. 308-9564 is the number.
What is faith? We've been talking about that today. Well, the Bible speaks of a one faith. We just talked about that recently in Ephesians chapter 4. And Jude says it this way in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in verse 3. He says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." Ladies and gentlemen, that faith, the teaching of Christ, was once delivered for all time. And he says that we have to earnestly contend for it. Seems to suggest that we have to fight for it. And so, friends, don't sell yourself short. No matter what you believe right now, make sure you are earnestly contending for the faith. Now, notice he didn't say earnestly contend for a faith. You know the difference between a and the? We might say that there is a chair. That means there's one of many. But then we might say there's the chair. That means it's the one. It's the only one. Here in this text, he says, earnestly contend for the faith. It's the only faith. There's no other one besides what we read of in the Scripture. And that's what you should be striving for. Make sure you find it. God has made it available to you. Are you seeking God today? If you need some help in this, again, we try to make ourselves available to help out in that. And so go ahead and call the operator standing by, 553-5157. Let the operator know that you've been listening to the radio program and you have some more questions concerning this faith, the faith that was once delivered for all time, as you consider yourself and you look at eternity, which is fast approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, you will be someplace in eternity, whether eternal life or eternal damnation. Make your calling and election sure. To join us right now, I think we have like 2 minutes. You might be able to get a question in, 308-9564, 308-9564.
And we do want to remind you that we are offering the DVD today, and so make certain that you, if you're not requested in that yet, to make certain that you do that, 553-5157, and we will send those DVDs to you free of charge. It is an overview of the Bible. It covers things that most churches did not bring out in God's Word. And so I would encourage you to take the DVD. If you've not used it, yours yet, go ahead and study it and be able to stop the player and let it look up those verses of Scripture, make certain that every passage is correct, and then continue on and study it, tear it apart, go as deep as you can in the study of those things. Again, to receive that DVD at 553-5157 is the number. There's an operator standing by. He'll be there for a few more minutes, and we do want you to know that you can receive this free of charge, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. We're just about to wind down here now, and we do want you to know that we have so enjoyed this very much, and we are thankful that you have taken out time this Sunday afternoon to let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. We want you to know that we're thrilled to be able to send this to you as well, and it's our honor to be able to share these riches in God's Word with you. We want, again, remember next week we start at 1:30. 1:30 is the time to begin the radio broadcast. I know on the cards that we sent out and advertisements that has been saying 2 o'clock, but it is from here for the rest of this year. We'll be here at 1:30 till 3 o'clock each Lord's Day. Thank you for listening today. Listen again next week starting at 1:30, and let the Bible speak.